Dave Moore
on Today FM
podcast.
Welcome to Dave Moore the podcast. I'm here and I've got nobody with me. Oh, Colman Nong's here.
Barely here.
I tell you, after his week on his holidays, he is barely here, the poor fella. But you're back now. You're in full swing now. How are your Whoop recoveries?
Yeah, well, do you know I actually went Whoop off body for the whole of the holiday. I've never ever done that, but I said, you know what, I would. I came in Monday with a bit of a headache. I was a bit tired, but I didn't talk much. I was actually a bit inflated, I felt.
You did feel inflated. You didn't look inflated.
No, you could be
honest.
I know,
but you felt... No, but Ozzy, you just felt it.
Well, my face has changed in the last whatever how many days. I think my face has gotten back to normal. Well, about nearly back to normal.
Yeah, you were inflated is a good word. Yeah,
I was. But the kind of headache is back, Dave.
Oh, he's got a headache. Because, okay, so here's the thing, right? Obviously, we meet a lot of people in our job, and particularly when we're interviewing somebody and they come into the studio, they'll often reach for a hug, particularly with me. Not all the time with Carl, but if you know somebody, you'll get a hug.
Yeah, it's rare. It's rare.
I get a hug almost with everybody. But even if I don't know them, I'll reach out my hand and also put my arm out to say, you know, handshake.
You're 75% hug, I think, though.
I think I am.
And I think that these people could be going around doing the rounds in all the radio shows and all the stations around the country. I don't think they're hugging anyone else.
No.
But they're
I'm
hugging you.
I'm making them hug me because I just love
but
a hug.
But they also, I think a lot of them come in and they actually come for the hug.
Oh, I'd say so.
I think they're expecting it.
I hope so, because I want to be known in my career as the one with the good hugs, not the me too hugs. I don't want to be that kind of hug. I want the good, wholesome, friendly, as Dermot used to say, maybe 1 second too long hugs.
It would be a bit like that.
I love an embrace. Anyway, the point is, every now and again you will get the remnants of somebody's scent, because they will have applied a lovely perfume, aftershave, whatever it is. I personally don't wear any. I don't like the smells too much. I never wear anything that smells. But
would you wear like Lynx though?
Oh, sorry. Don't wear an antiperspirant. I wear a deodorant body spray, is that what it's called?
That's the same. Exact. I'm the exact same as you. I can't do aftershave either.
Can't do it. And one of the reasons is that I just find them kind of overpowering. And obviously if you hug somebody, they've squirted it on their neck and their clothes and their hair and whatever, and you hug them and you get it. So sometimes I'm like, oh God, I'm so annoyed now because I smell of that smell, which I don't want to smell of. Today, somebody came in and I adored their smell. So when I hugged them, I didn't know they were going to smell so nice. They smelled lovely. And I'm really happy. However, Carl, did you hug the person?
Just handshake. I'm not really into the hugs. And I know this guy.
Only handshaked the guy, and here he is now, freaked out. Oh, he wants to get out of the studio.
I'm struggling with it badly. And hey, by the way, just to say, Casey's listening and he thinks, it's a lovely smell.
It's a lovely smell,
But whatever it's doing to me, it's doing to my senses.
Well, here's the thing. I was just telling Carl that I have that. Like, I don't get I get annoyed at the perfume or aftershave smells that I don't want, because I don't want to smell of those things.
Yeah.
It's not that they do anything to me. However, what does something to me is cucumber. So I think it's a bit like people, you know, people who taste soap when they eat. I was going to say, oh my God, I was going to say cilantro because it's American. That's all I can think of. Coriander. They eat it and it tastes like it freaks them out. Like if it's in a sandwich, the whole sandwich is ruined.
Yeah.
Like Maria's like that. My wife Tracy's like that. I'm like that with cucumber. I can't eat or smell or be near cucumber because I instantly get a headache.
Yeah, that is weird.
I know it's weird, but it's honest. It happens to me. And you're now getting that with this particular smell.
And you wouldn't be like cucumber, get out of the house.
I have no choice because my kids survive, I'd say, 70% of their snacks are cucumbers.
So do you have to touch the cucumber?
Touch the cucumber and slice the cucumber. And sometimes they want it. Have you ever run a vegetable peeler over a cucumber? Because you can, so like if you're serving smoked salmon, here's a little tip for you now.
Go to your house for
lunch. At your next dinner party, Carl. So when you're serving smoked salmon on brown bread, for example, with cream cheese and a little squirt of lemon, if you also run a vegetable peeler down the side of a cucumber long ways, you get these strands of cucumber that you can then kind of fold onto the plate, and people think they look lovely and they love them because they're fresh versus the rich salmon. Like, oh my God, headache. Even thinking about it makes me feel bad, but not quite the headache. But I have to do this all the time in my house. But I do it because I'm a good dad.
Wow, you are. If that was me now and it was just giving me...
Let me paint one other picture. Another thing I cannot stand the smell of. Now, I don't have the same headache reaction. I just hate the smell of it. Are rice cakes and peanut butter. Now, I hate them with every ounce of my body. And my kids, obviously like all kids, love rice cakes and peanut butter. And they know, they will come in. Like, I've literally had my daughter like walk in and go, "Dad, can I? Oh my God, I'm so sorry." And run back out of the room because she's carrying, like, it only happened the other day. Carrying a double sandwich of like rice cakes
and
peanut
butter. What is that about?
It smells so bad.
And that is a particular smell. I can smell that right now.
Yeah.
As you explain it.
So bad.
I think that's nice.
No, it makes me like, oh God, it's so bad. I don't know how to describe what it does to me. It's painful.
Do you know, it's that kind of other thing. I don't know. It's like, could you eat, you know, if you knew cucumber was on something, right? Mm. And you just scrape it off, could you eat it then?
No, I don't think so, because it's quite wet.
Yeah, it's true.
It would leave its like little cucumber toilet, would be honest. So I couldn't.
Remnants.
But even like, you know, cucumber face wash.
Yeah.
Or cucumber anything. I can't have it.
Like, oh my God, that is so weird.
I know, I am so weird. Well, but speaking of vegetables, do you know what a tortoise's favorite snack is? Because obviously it's something to do with vegetation. The reason I'm asking you this is because Donna Porter was on the show. Donna Porter is an amazing writer. She got a book out called Honeybee. She happens to be married to Chris O'Dowd, in case you didn't know, and took the O out of his name, which is brilliant. But also, she has a tortoise named Sandwich.
Oh, yeah, I could do the whole time on the tortoise. Sandwich the tortoise. So this morning, my cleaner was there this morning, and she just sent me a text saying, "There is a turtle crawling around in the kitchen." And I was like, I forgot to tell her that I had to bring Sandwich inside because it's too cold outside.
Oh, incredible. The poor cleaner. Also, incredible name for any animal, Sandwich. But
thank you. We can thank my son Valentine for that, who is amazing at naming animals.
Oh, Sandwich. Unreal. And why a tortoise, if you don't mind me asking? Where was the motivation for this?
Well, I actually grew up with one. My parents had a tortoise, so I've always loved them. And they are so wonderful to just watch. I lose myself just watching him plod about. watching him eat weeds. I have to go around and collect these big bunches of dandelion leaves for him, because that's what he eats. No, I'm the only person who lives where I live who goes and picks weeds instead of looks at all the lovely flowers. And then he finds me swearing and stamping my feet because someone had the audacity to come and mow the sides of the roads and get rid of all the weeds. Don't they know? And anyway, so I sit and I just throw this big bunch of weeds down and I just like just watch him and just go into this real zone. There's a lot of people that say like holidays, reading, being on boats, all these hiking mountains cleanse their soul. For me, it's just watching Sandwich eat weeds. I love him.
And won't he be long lived if everything's taken care of and he gets a good supply of dandelion leaves?
Can I just say how much I love you for this? Because I don't think enough people give my tortoise enough attention. So thank you so much. I feel very, very seen. So he could, Sandwich could live longer than me. He could actually live longer than all of us. I don't think he will. Unfortunately, he's not very well.
He can't
hibernate. So I have to keep him warm and toasty all winter. And feed him medication on a little strawberry, which is why my relationship with him is so intimate. He's not really allowed strawberries, only if it's to give medicine, but
of course,
he loves them. If I walk around the kitchen with my red nails, he'll think my toes are strawberries.
Are strawberries.
Sometimes have a little chomp.
So there you go, dandelion leaves. So I guarantee you, Sandwich likes cucumber.
What I didn't know about all of that is that she took the O out of Chris O'Dowd's.
Instead of being Dawn O'Dowd Porter or Dawn Porter O'Dowd, or as she said herself in the interview, Dawn Porter is so monosyllabic that she wanted, and her friends jokingly used to call them the O'Porters.
Oh, really?
And she was like, that's a brilliant, I'm taking that.
Yeah.
So she's legally, officially changed her name, Dawn O'Porter.
That is brilliant.
It is quality. Another thing that isn't quality is, again, we're on the same kind of things of tastes and flavours and all that. Is ruining a good breakfast by brushing your teeth beforehand. This debate ran and ran and ran for an entire hour on the show. And it would have gone longer if we let it. Because Carl says he gets up in the morning and brushes his teeth. Straight away.
Full stop.
Yeah.
And Dave doesn't brush his
teeth. I do not brush my teeth. No,
ever.
Not at all. I get up, I eat breakfast, I have a cup of tea. And then I brush my teeth. Because I don't want to have minty all bran and fluoride flavored cup of tea. You're wrecking your food in the morning.
And I was so confident that the people of Ireland were on my side. But were they, Dave?
Well, let's find out. Hey, let's get some reaction. Breda's been on, and Breda's Breda's unhappy about a number of things.
Hey, Dave, what's wrong with you? Cotton is right. You have to brush your teeth when you get up in the morning. Oh, my God, that's horrible taste in your mouth. How the hell do you eat 6 sweet bakes and be able to get up and move after it? You're an animal.
6 Weetabix is completely standard in my house. I have a 12-year-old who'd eat 6 and go back for 6 more. I mean, maybe we are animals, I don't know. Francis has been on too.
I don't even know why this is a conversation.
Yeah.
Of course you have your breakfast and your tea before you wash your teeth. The last thing you do before you leave the house for work is wash your teeth so that they're clean all the way right up to lunchtime. You don't wash your teeth and then go eat your breakfast and dirty them all over again, do you? And the bits of toast or cornflakes stuck in them. No. Carl, no. Start washing your teeth after your breakfast.
I mean, Francis, I love that you're so firmly in my camp. I will say you've discredited the argument slightly by saying wash your teeth.
I knew you'd think that.
Wash your teeth. You brush your teeth. Oh, wash your teeth. Now, we're not getting into this argument. It's like people who say make the bed or dress the bed or pull the curtains or draw the curtain. We're not getting into that debate now. But
for sure.
You don't wash your teeth.
No, you don't. But we're both calling teeth different things. You're saying, what are you saying?
Teeth. Yes, people have already pointed out that Colin sounds like he's washing his teeth.
It's not in Francis there, I think.
Joe's been on.
Dave, my partner was told by a dentist that when you get out of bed, you brush your teeth first thing. But I have a theory about this. I reckon you're probably going to have to brush your teeth twice, because you brush it when you get out of bed, then you eat your breakfast, you all that crack inside your mouth for the rest of the day. No, I don't think so. So you have to brush your teeth again. So I have a conspiracy theory. We think all that was started by the toothpaste company. Just a thought, you know?
Okay, so it's big toothpaste who want us to brush our teeth in the morning first thing and then brush them when we're leaving, and then you're supposed to brush them in the afternoon, and then you brush them at night. Tell you, that all sounds like big toothpaste to me. Let's have a chat now, right, to two people, I hope, on the phone. Well, certainly Jen, anyway. Jen and Paul in Newport. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
First of all, congratulations. When did you get married?
We got married on Thursday.
Got married on Thursday. Round of applause for you guys.
Their surname is Newport.
Their surname is Newport.
That's not clear on what I said there.
Sorry. Jen and Paul Newport, where are you?
We're on the motorway at the moment. Paul's actually going in for an operation this morning.
Oh, dear God. We wish Paul the best. Hope it all goes very well for you. However, I do feel like we may have caused the first newlywed argument, because you're less than a week married and you're after finding out you're on different sides of the toothbrushing situation. So,
absolutely.
What about you? Where are you, Jen?
I'm with Cahill.
Hey. Right, okay.
Yes, Jen.
I knew I preferred Paul.
I knew I liked you.
Go on. So why do you think that?
Because you can't have that disgusting overnight bacteria taste in your mouth when you're eating your breakfast.
How disgusting are your mouths, the two of you, that you're waking up like... Hang on. Do you wake up in the morning and give your new husband a kiss?
No.
Do you brush your teeth first?
Yeah.
Yes.
How would you? Come on.
And it's not even bad breath or anything. It's just like... Ugh.
Yeah, rottenness is what I'd call it.
I think you do need to go to the doctor and get your mouth
maybe the dentist.
Dentist, yeah, maybe that. But no, it could be coming from somewhere else.
That's true.
So, what if Paul? Paul's like me, then he'll just get up, get about his business, and then brush his teeth before he's heading out.
Yeah.
Smart man.
Breakfast, juice, tea, coffee, and then brush the teeth.
Yeah, but how can you cope with minty juice, Jen?
But I don't have minty juice.
What do you do? Brush your teeth with charcoal or something?
No, it just doesn't taste minty.
It does, yeah. Would you stop?
It doesn't. I ask you to try it, Dave. Try it.
No, I've been in a situation before where I've brushed my teeth and then, for whatever reason, I've ended up drinking a glass of orange juice or worse, eating a bowl of cereal. Oh my God, like cereal, when the milk goes in and it reacts against whatever minty nonsense is in your mouth, it's hideous.
What? How strong is your toothpaste?
Strong enough that it would affect the flavour of my food. The minty taste I had when I brushed my teeth is still there now. And that was at 6:30 this morning.
No, oh, your toothpaste is
you're
off.
Eating a really strong
toothpaste. Yeah, I think that's the problem here.
Well, listen, Jen, I have to disagree with you. I think Paul is right. Carl is wrong. No. Jen is wrong. And this is the first argument. You've already lost it. Like, I'm here on the radio telling you.
I never lose an argument.
Yeah, Paul's learning that, I'd say. Well, listen, will you wish him all the best in the operation? Hope it all goes really well for him.
Yeah, we will.
All right, nice one. Thanks a million, Jen.
All right, thanks.
See you. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Listen, I'll tell you what we'll do, right? Let's try and run a simple poll between now and 10 o'clock, okay? So, how do we do? Okay, just before or after, right? So, if you brush your teeth before you eat food, text in the word before. If you brush your teeth after you eat food, text in the word after. And by 10 o'clock, we'll have a definitive answer as to what Ireland does in terms of brushing their teeth and eating their breakfast. All the big questions answered here in the morning. Let's get back to the poll. The poll on whether you brush your teeth before you eat your breakfast or after you eat your breakfast. Now, before we move on to this, call, I need to read this text out to you. It's come in from Damien. Mm. Now, Damien has voted for after, so he's in the correct camp, in my view. My camp. He does say, however, Dave, there's one guy in my office. He brushes his teeth after lunch. And if I'm in the bathroom at the same time, I can't even look at him. The noise as he's brushing his teeth and staring at me, trying to make small talk, gives me the absolute ick. Can I raise a complaint with HR? Jesus, just stop it.
Oh, my God. Yes, you can.
That's incredible.
Go into the private toilets.
Well, they might have any. They might just have, like, non-private ones. So, like, but just don't brush your teeth and work. That's the answer. Carl, we asked people to text in either before or after to compile a poll. So how does Ireland deal with...
Have we time for a drone?
Oh, my God, I've always got time for a drone for you, Carl. How does Ireland deal with their teeth in the morning?
The winner with 58% of the vote is after your breakfast.
Of course it's after.
It's close though, 58%.
Yeah, so 42% people are still weird and brush their teeth before they eat their cereal or drink their orange juice or drink their tea or coffee, so they have minty breakfast. You're all weirdos. Well, look, all I'm saying is, do you know, live your own life. Do whatever you want, but for God's sake, try the other one. Try not brushing your teeth in the morning.
There was dentists that were saying Cahill is right. Are we like who?
Hey, uncovered that it's all a part of big toothpaste. Want us to brush our teeth twice in the morning, once in the afternoon, and twice at night. It's not happening.
You might be onto something.
No, I think there's a conspiracy theory in there somewhere. Listen, the other person I want to bring you this week on the podcast is Anna Geary, who is a brilliant human being. She has written books. She has won 4 All Irelands. She has presented many TV shows. She was in to talk about love and the country. And while she was in, I did ask her about the struggle she's having with doing sleep training.
Oh, the joys of a 14-month-old baby that's decided he doesn't really want to sleep that much. So it's sleep training, essentially. Like, it sounds like we're trying to train him to be in the Olympics, but we're trying to break all the bad habits, essentially, we put into place in the first year.
We all do, just to get some sleep. So what kind of stuff, where are you at now? Are you still tempted to bring him into the bed, into the labba?
Yeah. Dave, last night I was leaning over the cot, probably gently sobbing at 4 a.m. going, please go to sleep. I thought, I'll just bring him into the bed. One night won't hurt. And I was like, no, you've been at this we're 3 weeks into it now. And it's just so many of my friends that have been, I suppose, like that ahead of me, and he's going, don't, you'll have to go back to the start again. And then I have other friends going, hey, I have an 11-year-old in the same bed as me, it's grand, don't worry about it. So
yeah, I don't know where the thing is. Like, I have 4, right? We're still having sleep issues. They're not necessarily all not going to sleep. It's like, wait a minute, I've been asleep for 2 hours. I look over, my wife's in bed with me, and I go, who's downstairs? And I'm like, realize there's 4 of them downstairs watching telly and making popcorn at like 12:30 at night. Or then the constant battle in my house is like Friday evening, you know. Oh, I'm tired after the week. Yeah, I'm tired too. We go to bed. It's 8:30. We should probably try and stay up a bit longer. But our 14-year-old is still out somewhere.
I wish I was like that. I don't know. It's been ingrained in me. I'm like, I'm a night owl. So even though as exhausted as I am, you'll see me go zing at about 10 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
Like, will we watch something on Netflix? Or I've got this amazing idea. I'm just going to start like crafting out. So the challenge for me is that even if when he's asleep,
you're not able to switch it off. Yeah. I got you.
I don't believe in the sleep when the baby sleeps cracking.
Difficult, in fairness. But listen, you do whatever you do to get your kids a good night's sleep. And as I said, as you get older and the kids get older, the sleep issues change. It's getting them out of bed in the morning is the issue.
Yeah, but it's weird though. I am 30 mm-hmm. years of age now. And it comes to that stage where some of my friends are having kids. And, you know, it's often a discussion with my better half, Claire. Mm-hmm. And I Claire would have the worries of managing life with work and just being a mom and the money side of things.
Yeah.
And I am not joking with you, Dave. Literally, the only negative that I can think of is the sleep bit. Like, that's the only thing. I can't think, like, I can't see past that. So I don't see dirty nappies.
Sure.
I don't see crying baby. Mm. But it's the affecting my sleep and my sleep score and my whoop.
Well, let me tell you, sir, that the only guarantee I can give you, I cannot guarantee that your child will be well behaved. I cannot guarantee that your child will drink their boppy. I cannot guarantee that your child will be colicky or non-colicky, or that they will do anything in their personality at all. I will guarantee you that you will not sleep for 2 years.
No, 2 years?
You will not sleep properly for at least 2 years.
That's terrifying.
Fits and starts, my friend. Fits and starts. That's what it takes. And when you have kids in a row, which a lot of people do, which I did, where I had one and then a second one and then twins, you're basically not sleeping for 6 years. It's not happening. You're not getting a good night's sleep for 6 years unless you go away. And even if you go away, you wake up in the middle of the night because you're used to waking up.
Is that why you think you're so used to little sleep now? Like in general, you
it's certainly, you know, look, I started breakfast radio before I had kids. Little sleep was a thing, but definitely it helped me cope when I had kids because I was used to getting 4, 5, 6 hours sleep a night. Now, I will say it was unbroken before kids came along.
Yeah.
And 6 hours unbroken sleep, most people would function on that. But an hour followed by a broken, followed by 2 hours, followed by a broken, followed by 40 minutes, and then you're up. That stuff, that will knock you down.
Please God, someday, you know, that we can have kids and we do have kids.
Sure, yeah.
And please God, I am working with you and you can get the full wrath of my
sleep-deprived daddy cuddle.
I would love to be putting that on you and seeing how you can give me all your positivity, because I will suck every bit of it out of you.
Well, I really do hope and pray I'm here for that, because it will be a joy. Right, thanks for listening to the podcast. We're on the radio 9 to 12, Monday to Friday. Don't forget, everything's on there. Bad Jokes, Music Master, all the celebs, it's all the crap. See ya.
Bye. Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.